Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. In Clockwan, a village 20 miles northwest of Haines, a Presbyterian church was just returned to the Chilkat Indian Village after a century of ownership under Presbytery USA. KTOO spoke with Lex Trinan from the Chilkat Valley News about what this change means for Clockwan.
It's a place that people just went to, especially, you know, especially a few generations ago. It was just sort of standard that you went there. Church elder I spoke with, Lonnie Hotch, talked about her earliest memories in life being going to the church with her grandmother. She described her grandmother's blue polka-dotted dress and walking along the wooden boardwalks that used to serve as sidewalks in Clockwan. And so it seems to me that it's a pretty important part of this small community.
And in your story, you wrote about how some of the leaders in the church have been reckoning with the negative impacts that the church has caused in the community in the past. Can I ask what negative impacts were caused by the Presbyterian church in the area?
Yeah, so it's sort of an interesting question because there is a Presbyterian church presence in Haines that has, you know, what some consider to be a darker influence with the boarding school that was in Haines. The Haines House and, you know, that school, like many other residential schools, took Alaska Native children from their homes from different areas around the state and brought them here to get a Western education. In Clockwan, there wasn't that explicit negative history. I asked some of the elders about that. And they said, interestingly, that in Clockwan itself, there never was sort of that animosity about what the church was doing there. But it always did feel a little bit, I think, foreign for some of the people to have this outside influence of denomination that was coming from outside. In that sense, there's sort of this overarching negative idea about some of the aspects of the church, at least. And I think that was what Clockwan was trying to reckon with here during this deed transfer.
I know that some of the leadership in the church has been looking into reparative work for a while now. Can I ask what initiated that work and who started looking into what could be done to kind of reconcile with the Presbyterian Church's role in Southeast Alaska?
The person that got interested in it was a pastor who arrived in Clockwan in 2017. Her name is Jamie Campbell. She served as pastor for a few years, and she said it was a little bit after she arrived that she became aware of an apology that Presbyterian USA, that's a denomination within the Presbyterian Church, that those leaders made to the Alaska Federation of Natives Conference in 2016. In May of 2019, Pastor Campbell decided to give a sort of local apology on behalf of the Clockwan Church or the leadership of the Clockwan Church. You know, she sort of apologized generally. As I mentioned before, there weren't specific abuses per se in the Presbyterian Church in Clockwan, but, you know, she sort of spoke to the physical, sexual, and emotional abuse that happened as a result of assimilation practices. And it seemed like it was a pretty meaningful event in the church's history. Campbell said that she had members of the community approach her years later and recite portions of that apology to her, even though they hadn't been there at the time.
Okay. And can I ask what's now happened with the church?
So yeah, all this sort of reckoning led to this idea of returning the property of the Presbyterian Church to the tribe of Clockwan. The whole area is owned by the tribe with that one exception of the church. Pastor Campbell reached out to the Presbyterian leadership, and interestingly enough, the Presbyterian leadership was all on board. You know, they didn't even give it a second thought. At the time, it wasn't really a marked event. It was a time that there were still some COVID concerns, and so they decided not to hold a ceremony. But that changed this last year, and they finally decided to recognize it formally.
And so what does it mean for it to be owned by the village now?
Pastor Campbell spoke of sort of how it was a ceremony of healing. You know, she talked about how it just felt like a deep emotion of broken things being put back together. And it's sort of interesting to talk to compare her account of it to some of the other perceptions from other community members. Lonnie Hotch, who I mentioned earlier, one of the elders, when I spoke with her, the 2019 apology, she sort of talked about that as, you know, something that she had actually already moved on from. Not to say that she didn't agree with it, but she thought it was something that was sort of already in the past. And here is what she had to say about that.
So do you just wait and suffer? You know, because so and so did me wrong and they have never apologized. No, you gotta just let go of that and move on. So that was my, I mean, it was great that there was an apology after the fact, but in my heart, I've already moved on.
There were sort of some interesting feelings going on from some of the church members, I think.
Well, thank you for taking so much time to speak with me today.
Absolutely.
That was Chilkat Valley News' Lex Trinan speaking with KTOO. This past summer, Bristol Bay, a region of less than 8,000 year-round residents, saw three overdoses in less than 1 week. Bristol Bay has long contended with drug trafficking, especially substances like meth and heroin. But as fentanyl enters small communities, family and friends are rapidly losing loved ones. Members of the state's Department of Public Safety came to Dillingham last month. KDLG's Christina McDermott reports on the problem's scope and what's being done.
Between the years 2021 and 2022, Alaska's overdose deaths nearly doubled from the previous five-year average.
We do know that we have a drug problem in the state of Alaska.
James Cockrell is the commissioner for Alaska's Department of Public Safety.
And specifically in rural Alaska, in Dillingham, Togiak area, and King Salmon is one of the areas that have a high propensity of drugs and drug overdoses.
Cockrell says rural Alaska is a target for dealers because they reap huge profits in small communities. One dose of fentanyl can cost several times what it would in the lower 48. In November, Cockrell met with community officials in Dillingham to discuss the scope of the problem. The city also held a town hall so the wider community could participate. Dillingham Mayor Alice Ruby says that at both meetings, community members raised concerns about the region's drug use.
It was pretty evident by, you know, some of the agencies talking about issues they've been dealing with, the housing authority and even our local police force and others, that it's a growing problem.
Fentanyl is now the most common drug involved in overdose deaths nationwide, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. About 2 milligrams can kill you. That's the width of just two pennies stacked together. The Department of Public Safety recently launched an app to combat the problem called AK Tips, where community members could send anonymous information to officers working on drug cases from all over the state. Officers can then alert local authorities.
The more information that we can get, the quicker the information, the more detailed information we get, the more likelihood law enforcement, whether it's the Dillingham Police Department, King Salmon Police Department, Togiak, or the Alaska State Troopers, we have a much higher probability of solving that case.
The department's interim head of public safety, Joel Ward, says another focus is prevention in small communities. That's where the Village Public Safety Officer Program comes into play.
The VPSO program really is the state's effort to have a proactive local presence. And with that presence, they establish relationships and rapport and can recognize crime or accidents maybe before they become accidents or crimes.
Ward says Village public safety officers not only have a strong understanding of local dynamics, but they can provide a positive role model and help reduce the demand for drugs in small communities.
Looking at the families, the children, and others that get sucked into the supply side and try to create, you know, a different role model that can help people make better choices.
But there are still hurdles. Although the state has increased public safety funding in recent years, the agency is still understaffed. Last month, Cockrell says 70 positions were open in the troopers alone. Cockrell says that limits their capacity to staff a drug officer in rural areas like Dillingham. The department had staffed a drug investigator in Dillingham for several years, but that position is currently vacant. Cockrell says that filling the role is one of his priorities going forward. In Dillingham, I'm Christina McDermott.
Bethel Search and Rescue said it found the body of a man under the ice by Brown's Slough just before 5 p.m. on Wednesday. The man has not yet been identified officially, but the Bethel police chief said Thursday morning he believes it is the body of 20-year-old Michael Isaac of Marshall, who's been missing since the morning of November 2nd. You're listening to KTOO. For more stories, go to ktoo.org.